This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not
afraid to take a stand. See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and Z-Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where I'm having some echo, which I cannot tell you why. Now, sometimes they tell me that you don't hear it, but I definitely have an echo. So producer, I don't know if you can help me because it's really not good. All right. I think that's better now. Thank you very much. Again, welcome to Guardian, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I'm trying to find the numbers here because I'm not in my normal locations. Producer, if you can send me the numbers, I'll give it to them. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. You can text us on 422-479-6, that's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. And as soon as I get all of the station's numbers, you can, I'll get them to you. I am hesitant to deal with this that I am going to talk about. And I'm hesitant because, you know, it's been like a string of issues involving the government that have been problematic. And I, you know, sometimes people get the impression that you just beaten upon or criticize, and I certainly don't ever want to be put in that light at all. I don't want to be looked at in that way. But issues are what issues are, and they arise, and you know, you want to address them and try to speak to them. And so the works, the Honorable Alfred says, revealed in the House of Assembly today, in a press conference today, during a questioning by reporters, essentially. Well, during a press conference that he did in fact, or was in fact, he was made aware, or he was, or received a request to execute a hedge by way of email, and that happened in October. The October just were elected to office, and that he subsequently forwarded that email to the financial secretary, who responded that he did not support the execution. that he then conveyed to the Bahamas Power and Light what was decided. Now, this comes in the wake of the fact that both Mr. Sayers and the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance strongly denied that either of them was aware of any advice to execute the hedge. In fact, the Prime Minister said on October 26th, I continue to hear this diatribe of what we did not respond to or what advice we had or we didn't follow that advice. He said, the first thing we have to appreciate about advice when given, first of all, I received no advice or recommendation, saw no papers in that respect. I never saw any. None reached my desk. As far as I'm aware, it did not reach. The minister will speak for himself. That never. Then the leader of the opposition, Mr. Pintard, presented to Parliament on October 18th, 2021, a letter written to Mr. Sayers, the minister, by the then Light Whitney Hastie, which provided comprehensive details on the hedge program. And Mr. Sayers said that the document, which he did not ever recall receiving, was only a description of the program. He says, I don't recall seeing it prior, but that's the point I'm making. I'm looking at the document in my hand, right? By my hand, right? I'm looking at the document in my hand, and what the honorable member said was, we failed to execute on the hedge strategy. What the honorable member, to my recollection, stated is that a strategy was presented and we failed to act. A description of what was done is not a strategy, he insisted. And then in the House of Assembly, November 17th, said that he recently had spoken to the Financial Secretary, Simon Wilson, for clarification transpired relating to the BPL hedge transactions. He said, and quote, and the Honorable Member Pintard raised this as if we were in a court of law, responses were given, he said. I have checked with the Financial Secretary and I have confirmed with the Financial Secretary that the documents which were provided were also provided to the Ministry of Finance, and I'll be happy to lay the response of the Financial Secretary. He said, further, it was considered and communicated that based on what was put to the Ministry of Finance, the proposal to execute trades was not accepted and some questions were asked which were not addressed satisfactorily. He says, but what the Ministry of Finance explained to me, Madam Speaker, is that any commitment of a hedge strategy would represent an obligation. BPL was not in a fiscal position to assume that itself. And therefore, through the IDB, Inter-American Development Bank, and the Ministry of Finance, both of which have requisite technical capacity, reviewed and did not accept both. He goes on to say that was a determination by the Ministry of Finance. Now, if the honorable member were to put forward a question, the Ministry of Finance would prepare answers and provide the answers. Sayers said that the draft cabinet paper is addressed to the Minister of Finance for the Minister of Finance's consideration, remember? Not the Ministry of Finance, but the Minister of Finance. He said the Minister of Finance communicated to the Minister of Finance, not the Ministry of Finance, but the Minister of Finance communicated that based on what was presented, it was not supported. The determination was communicated in October of 2021 on what is the relevance. How on November 21, Mr. Sayers was asked On November 21, the Prime Minister was asked about Mr. Sayers' comments. And the Prime Minister said, I saw no documents about that. Only this weekend, I was provided with some information concerning that, which I am now assessing to determine all the misstatements about what actually went on. What I do know is if the financial secretary had some views about it, about proceeding with it. And I think those were the views that were adopted. He said further, I had no knowledge of it. He, Alfred Sayers, this is the Prime Minister speaking, said the Minister of Finance, Ministry of Finance had knowledge of this. That's a big ministry. It was not me. Now today, this is what Mr. Sayers says. We were debating at the time the value-added tax. The leader of the opposition made a statement. I did not recall having received that. Did that. Okay. I want to stop here because I ascertain whether what Mr. Sayers initially indicated was merely a description of or details about the hedge program and not a request. Remember, he said, what the honorable member, to my recollection, stated is that a hedge was presented and we failed to act. A description of what was done is not a strategy. So I am now seeing in this statement, when he says that I did not recall having received that email, what email, what was being held up by the leader of the opposition. He says, but he didn't then recall it. He says, I wrote PPL and I also asked, could you refresh me? Did I receive it? See, receive what? What the leader of the opposition was pointing out was a request. He says, and I didn't get a response, a confirmation. Okay. Listen, if a minister writes a PS, writes at one of his agencies, don't get a response back from them, something is desperately wrong. In all my life in public life, I would never have seen any such thing. A minister make a request of somebody, a PS agency of his, and don't get a response? That's weird. That is really weird. He says, several weeks ago, I was in New York, and I took a day, and I brought my old iPad, and I went back personally and did a search, and I found that I did receive. I think it was on October 9th. I did receive an email with the attachments. It was sent on to the financial secretary, which is normal because they are the technical review in terms of financial clearance, because it was really to access a loan which is managed by the Ministry of Finance. Anyway, let me read on. So the financial secretary responded stating that he didn't support him. I passed that on to BPL and BPL tried as best they could to persuade him. When I found that email, says the minister, the first opportunity I was in parliament and this was debating the Mental Health Act, the leader of the opposition made the allegation again. I could not sit there knowing that the first representation that I had made was not correct. And as is my duty, I got up and I stated on the record of the House had done a search of my email and had found the email of October 9th, I think it was 2021. And that the response of the financial secretary and I stated on the record because it was incumbent upon me to correct the previous statement that I. There's a lot going on here. Now, let me just say for the record, right? So I, I'm trying to recall the sequence of events that are surrounding this chronologically. Maybe, honestly, altogether, it may not even be the most, in every respect, accurate, but here's what is interesting to me. I listened to the minister's press conference, and the minister says, when I found that email, the first opportunity I got when I was in Parliament, and this was debating the Mental Health Act, the leader of the opposition made the allegation again. I could not sit here knowing that the first representation I made was not correct. Well, okay, so if I'm reading the minister correct, he's saying that it was an allegation by the leader of the opposition that prompted him to correct what he had come to discover was incorrect in his previous statements. So he admits his previous statement on the matter was incorrect. And he found that out by searching his own emails. But in the ordinary course of events, here's what would happen, right? You don't need or wouldn't need some of the issue in Parliament. At your earliest opportunity, you would take the occasion and say, Mr. Speaker, I need to make a statement, right? And then you would say, in the House of Assembly, I previously indicated X, Y, and Z. I now subsequently know that that statement that I made was incorrect, but that's not what seems to be happening here. It seems that only the allegation made again, according to Mr. Sayers, by the leader of the opposition, prompted him to get up saying he, knowing what he knew, but like you already knew it wasn't correct. So the leader of the opposition didn't have to prompt you. As a minister, you want to make sure that what you put on the record is correct. And it can happen. You can make incorrect statements. There's no question about that. Now, let me tell you something. I cannot accuse somebody of lying versus making an incorrect statement, because for me to say that you are lying, I would have to find evidence that you knew that you were deceiving the House of Assembly when you said what you said. I say evidence, right? Or I can't read your mind. I can't get in your heart and know what you think, what you're doing. So, but if you make an incorrect statement and you discover you make an incorrect statement, no one need prompt you to go and correct the record in the House, because as a minister, you want to both be accurate and truthful in what you have to say, right? Now, the minister said that he told the House that he had checked his email. But I don't know when that happened. I don't know when that happened. And I think that this is where life gets hazy, right? Because now apparently there's a new incorrect statement where he told the House that he had checked his email. Because as far as I could recall, up to this point, I did a couple of shows on, I had one show in particular on this. The Prime Minister denied any recollection of this matter. The Minister denied any recollection of this matter. And until today, I mean, I hadn't known that any correction of that record had taken place. Why is all of this important? Because the leader of the opposition is alleging that the minister was misleading Parliament. And I don't know how much you all know, but misleading Parliament is in fact an offense for a minister worthy of resignation. That's reality. That's Shivanan. That's reality. Why? Because as I said to you before, a misleading is an intentional decision to misdirect the knowledge of the Parliament. And the Parliament of the Bahamas is the sovereign people's parliament. It is where the people's elected representatives are. And so if you mislead the Parliament, you mislead the people. And if you mislead the people, you lose credibility, you lose trustworthiness, and therefore you cannot function with any degree of effectiveness when that happens. So this is why getting the facts right, this is why understanding exactly what the case is so important. And beyond the politics of it, why the leader of the opposition has a responsibility, as does even the prime minister, what is said to Parliament is in fact factual, and at least factual, and at best, not an effort to mislead. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. Stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Hey, Bill, glad to see you back in the office.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Tom.
Nope.
Jeff.
Want me to just tell you?
Nope, I got this, George.
No, you don't. Still not me.
Adam.
Not even close, man.
We're like a coworker that didn't forget your name. CG Atlantic Agents and Brokers. Good like that.
Okay, good to see you, Mark Mike John Sean.
It's Mordecai.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thanks are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best behemoth at international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9. on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. or 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a WhatsApp here said he could only access the email with his old iPad, his government email. No, sir. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, you can access your email from any device, right? You don't need your old iPad. You don't need your new iPad. You just need a device that can access your email account, which is in the cloud. This text says he told Pat with Simon Wilson, and Wilson told him that he reflected the rejected the trade request because they were not in the public interest. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. If you detect my deliberateness in navigating this more so than usual, it's because it is necessary for me to do so. If I threw caution to the wind and just blurted out what I thought, I do not know how it would come across. I can be honest with y'all. See, many, many of in Bahamas do not fully appreciate the, I think, the professionalism that exists at the upper echelon of the civil service. And so it's easy to dismiss some things because you do not believe that these people are very professional. If I'm a permanent secretary today, referenced in this minister's statement, I'm very concerned. Why? Because the minister said, I wrote BPL and I also wrote the PS. And I asked, could you refresh me? Did I receive it? This is the minister's statement. And I didn't get a response or confirmation. Okay. If you ask a PS something and the PS doesn't respond to you, you might say, well, maybe the PS missed that. Didn't remember that note from me. But when a minister writes a permanent secretary, like I can tell you, and maybe some minister present for out there tells me this is ever happened, but that a permanent secretary does not respond to a minister's request, if that happened, oh my God, the permanent secretary ought to be called to account for why a measure. Or something is deadly wrong. You don't respond to the minister? Really? I just don't see that happening. I can't say it couldn't happen, but I just don't see it happen. That's incredible. That BPL would hear from its minister in writing, and not respond. Bear in mind, I want you to bear this in mind. The BPL to whom the minister is now writing is not the BPL in terms of the management and leadership that was in place when the hedge was set about. The new management in place was put in place by the current administration. So one might say, oh, BPL was just probably acting up to cooperate with the government. But this is the leadership the government put in place, hearing from its minister. So two entities are now on the hook for explaining why they did not respond to a cabinet minister's request. Two. Now, this is to help you. This is to help you. I want you to listen. This is to help you understand our process. So the minister says he wrote the permanent secretary. Let me ask you a question. Why would a permanent secretary be able to confirm that a minister received something? If it came to me, why would a permanent secretary be able to confirm that? You know why? Because this is the typical process in the government of the Bahamas. Almost every piece of correspondence that comes from a government agency to a minister comes through the permanent secretary. So rather than the CEO of BPL writing the minister directly, that could happen, but it is not usual, the CEO would write the permanent secretary or write the minister through the permanent secretary. And in that way, a minister can say to PS, did I get a correspondence from Snows? That's the way it ordinarily works. I want you to remember that. Remember that when, as I go along. That's the way it ordinarily works. Why? It provides institutional records for the government. In fact, even if somebody from the outside writes the minister directly, the normal course of events, what is appropriate for the minister to do is to write to the permanent secretary, PS, please advise, or PS, please take necessary action. So something of that nature. Why? Because again, the minister is establishing for the record of the government and the public the sequence of events and what in fact happened in relation to any matter. Because this is official business. This is not my personal business. This is the government of the Bahamas' business, and the permanent secretary as the principal administrator of that ministry, the chief administrator of that ministry, is the one who has to ensure that all those kinds of administrative protocols are being followed. So as it now stands, who the permanent secretary is, I don't know. The minister didn't say, but a permanent secretary is on record in the public sphere on record as having not responded to a minister who made a request of that permanent secretary. Maybe there wasn't enough time or something of that nature. I don't know. So it didn't respond to the minister to confirm what the deal was. That's the first thing. Now, the minister says he went and he checked with the permanent secretary to see whether he had in fact received the email. But he indicated that according to the email, he indicates now that when he received the email, he sent it to the financial secretary. Now, he says that is the normal course of things, right? Because they're the ones who have technical, blah, blah, blah. But what I found curious was why did the minister not send this to the permanent secretary so that the permanent secretary could send it to the financial secretary? Because that's the normal way it should be done. Because let me tell you why I think that this is that's so germane. If a minister passes something on to the permanent secretary, who then has to go and pass it on to the financial secretary and then wait for the financial secretary to respond to the permanent secretary and then the permanent secretary respond to the minister, you could see how that might get lost on the minister. But when the minister communicates directly with the financial secretary and gets an answer, to be unable to recall that to me is really stunning. That's stunning. See, the financial, because the minister said himself, the financial secretary is like that's the ministry and things have to be clear. But this is the financial secretary, and the financial secretary communicates with the minister and said, we don't support it. Like, you don't, like, okay, let me just say, I can't see myself forgetting that interest exchange. I can't see it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I can't see it. But, you know, life could get very busy, and you're not me, and nobody, you know, you may have a different way of recalling and recollecting, and so, but this, it just seems so odd. See, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas very vehemently and to this day continues to deny he has seen any such correspondence. And I have no reason to disbelieve the Prime Minister, no reason. I have none. But he vehemently does so. Now I ask you, how does the Prime Minister, how is he able to recall so clearly that he didn't receive something? And you, as minister, is unable to recall an exchange between himself and the minister and the financial secretary? That's incredible to me. But just because I say it's incredible doesn't mean it's not possible. It's possible. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take another break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
As my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So we have a text here, says, man, anyway. So it's incredible. I have to say, the this whole matter seems to me to have been something quite avoidable, but has been made, I think, more messy now than ever before. You know, it wasn't as if the hedging program was a secret of anybody. It was really touted, you know, by the IDB, by the former administration, as to its value to the Bahamian public in saving. In fact, the Minister of Public Works on coming to office indicated its importance and that attention would be paid to the scene. Right? So, you know, this was not something, you know, when you become a minister, you get turnover notes. And it establishes what your powers are in law. So they want you to know as minister what lawful powers you have. It talks about what policies, significant policies are in place, what significant programs are in place for significant projects are in place. And so this is so that you can get up to speed quickly to start making decisions. And so, you know, the hedging program was a significant program because the cost of power in the Bahamas was a make or break issue for consumers and for commercial enterprises in the country. And so to seemingly be in a situation in which the minister was not made aware of sin as a matter of urgency, one could find incredulous. It either speaks to a level of incompetence or insensitivity on the part of the bureaucracy responsible for making ministers aware of urgent matters, or it speaks to a level of indifference, distraction, on the part of the policy maker in not being seized of such an important matter. Or at worst, it suggests, some might suggest that it is a matter which, in retrospect, having acted in one way, that turned out to be adverse to the public interest, that one now challenged by that fact decides it's better not to be as forthcoming about it as one could be. The problem with that is, you know, one time ago, you could speak in Parliament, you could speak in public, and the records would be limited as to someone being able to say, but you said, we no longer exist in that world. The record of the House of Assembly is kept from gavel to gavel. The media in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is extensive. And people are always recording. It's being published on Facebook and published on this and so forth. And so it's easy then to come back and say, yeah, but you said this, then you said that, then. But this don't square with that, this don't square with this, et cetera. That's why it's always easier to tell the story to end. That's the advice. Even in the midst of scandal, even in the midst of something embarrassing, even in the midst, tell the story to end the story. That don't mean you're going to come out smelling like a rose. That doesn't mean that you're going to come out looking like the champion of all champions. What it does mean is you will cut the legs off from that story so that even if it's moving, it'll crawl. It won't be breaking off running. And this story seems to have this kind of fervor. When we come back, I'm going to touch on this some more, but from the point of view of how we seem to only want to own that of our decisions that we believe went well. And when you are in real life, and when you are in leadership, that is simply. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news.
To take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we were talking about the press conference held today by the Minister of Public Works regarding the hedge fund, the hedging issue at BPL. A the leader of the opposition and his colleagues have alleged that the minister misled Parliament. So if you listen to the minister's remarks at the press conference, the question would be, do you get the impression that the minister misled Parliament? And, you know, and that's a heavy, that is a, don't think that anyone should take it lightly. I would not want, without really grand certainty, to say a minister misled Parliament. But I could say this much about the statement, that there are gaps that certainly, if left unfilled, would cause one to question, at the very least, the accuracy of the minister's assertions on this matter, and at the worst, the forthrightness of the minister on the matter. And one of the reasons why that is so so evident is that for me to this day, I've never seen the totality of this happening right now, what I've seen happening. This is what I'm talking about. I have never seen a minister make statements that suggest that his prime minister was seized of a matter, and have the prime minister, this is all happening publicly, respond and say he was not so seized of the matter, and that back and forth continues unabated to this day, even though the prime minister attempted to soften the matter by saying the minister didn't say the Minister of Finance. He said the Ministry of Finance, and the Prime Minister said the Ministry of Finance is a big ministry. But in point of fact, on the record, the minister said the Minister of Finance, and that the Minister of Finance did not agree. Didn't say Ministry of Finance. He said Minister of Finance. So a back and forth of a prime minister and a minister adamantly opposing each other's recollection of an event is a reason why the gaps in the matter become so profoundly troubling, right? And secondly, I want you all to notice, right? At the end of, listen, let me ask you all a question. Let's name some good things that this administration has done. Things that you support. Things that people support. So let's say the reduction in VAT. Notwithstanding, there was some controversy over the adding of the VAT onto some breadbasket items. But in general, the reduction of VAT was a good thing. Did any of you hear the government say, well, that was the advice of the financial secretary, or we got that advice from this technical officer? Did any of you hear that? Now, the government did allude to a study done by the Government of Public Policy Institute. It didn't do that at the University of Bahamas, but you didn't hear that. What else is there? Wi-Fi on the parks. And this was from the permanent secretary. You can go and recount good policy after good policy that the government will brag about. And you will never hear the government say that this was given to us by this technical officer or that bureaucratic officer. You will never hear it. But this hedge matter gets to be negative, and I want you all to know where the blame is being put
for the decision making on the financial secretary. The financial secretary. Governments own the good, the bad, and the ugly of their policies. The government never says, well, you know, P.S., this one suggested it, or Director, this one suggested it. That is never a thing that a government should do. These people are permanent civil servants. They are advisors. That's what they are. They are not directors. They are advisors. Cabinet ministers are called political directors. They are the ones who have to endorse a policy. Now, let me tell you something. Listen. Unless they're, you know, I almost said it, and y'all would have thought I was being political about it, but I wasn't, so let me don't say it that way. Unless something has drastically changed, a financial secretary or a permanent secretary cannot give a policy directive unless the government gave them the power and said, listen, man, do whatever you want to do. Can you imagine that? Let me explain how it works. The policy, meaning the way the government responds to any issue, the way the government acts in respect of any issue, or the way the government does not act in respect of any issue, the policy belongs to the government. The Constitution says there shall be a cabinet, and the cabinet shall have general direction and control of the government. So the policy belongs to the government. The government determines the policy, and it don't make no difference whether the permanent secretary or the financial secretary like it or don't like it, unless they think it's something in breach of law and they have some kind of serious objection to it in that regard. If it's the policy of the government of the Bahamas, their responsibility is not in directing policy. Their responsibility is in carrying out policy. So if in this instance, see, I listened to the prime minister, and the prime minister's secretary had some views on the matter. That's all he said. And then the minister said the finance secretary had some views on the matter, and those views were adopted. I think the prime minister also said those views were adopted. But adopted by who? Adopted by who? It only could have been adopted by the government. And therefore, what does the finance secretary have to do with it? He is advising the government every single day on every single track with every matter that comes from the Ministry of Finance. You don't hear nobody saying the financial secretary said this, you don't hear nobody saying that. Why? Because that's not appropriate. The policy belongs to the government. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm listening to you.
Hey, Minister Lang.
Yes, hi.
All right, good day and proper to your listeners. I trying to figure out, listening to the news and listening to back and forward, it sounded like the financial secretary, sounded like he made the decision on this one. I don't know if they normally do stuff like that. And
I was just trying to explain that, Papa. I was just explaining that a financial secretary, like a permanent secretary, like a director, they are advisors to the government. They cannot direct policy.
Oh, so this thing, what they saying, although they're saying it happened this way, we should not accept it.
Well, it's out of the ordinary, that's for sure.
Yeah, this ain't the normal thing. I listen to you and we are chilling and we really following. Tell me something. This ain't no PLP or F or them thing, but the question is, because everybody feeling it. What these people trying to say? They're trying to say this decision, what was made, what sound like it shouldn't be made by the financial secretary, should have been a policy made by ministers. Is this the reason why our light bill going up high? This thing where they talk about with the BPL thing, if they didn't make the opposite or a different decision, then our light bill wouldn't have been as high as it is now. I mean, it always was high. It's still high, but it seems like they saying that because this decision they made, it made it high. Shivago, you think you could remember back in the days when former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, first in 92, when he first became Prime Minister, I could be wrong. It wasn't too long from then he reshuffled his cabinet. I wonder, like, did you ever find out, like, what was the reason behind, well, why a prime minister do that? Or since you worked with Hubert Ingram, maybe you would understand and you would know maybe to tell us why Mr. Ingram to do it. Because sometimes we feel like it is be good when they move these people around so they don't become complacent. What was the reason Hubert Ingram might have done that when he became prime minister? And to do that, Prime Minister Davis should reshuffle his cabinet now and move people like Alfred says them around? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Parker, for calling. Let me tell you something. Your first question is the germane question. See, Parker's asking, you know, if I could rephrase Papa, he's asking, okay, so, like, is the big deal about this that the decision or non-decision has adversely affected the public and therefore, folk are wanting to put it on the financial secretary as opposed to owning themselves? That is a fundamental question. I want you all to think about that for a moment. I mean, literally think about Papa's question, right? Had the hedge been executed, had the BPLs not have to raise the fuel surcharge and not have to deal with anything, I could say it saved money because of the hedging. Would anyone know about an email that was sent? Would anybody know about a denial of an email that was sent? Would anybody know that the financial secretary said, yeah, let's go ahead and do it? Would anybody be at all concerned about the sequence of events that would? No. This is a matter that the government seems to be responding to with a kind of caution because according to BPL, had the government executed this hedge in September, then October, then have had to raise the rates to the extent that it is doing now. BPL said that in February of this year. And rather than think about this for a moment, think about it. BPL makes that assertion, right? BPL makes that assertion. If the government had contrary information, that would be the argument. Instead of Mr. Sayers saying, well, I didn't recall it, I didn't see it, and the prime minister saying, well, no, it never came to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the government could put an argument and said, yes, we got a request for the execution of the hedge, but here are the facts that made us decide not to do it. Even today, listen to this. Even today, the prime minister said, the minister of finance said, that the financial secretary had some views about the matter. Right? Now, would it not be useful to, not by way of verbal retort, but lay out for the public the argument of the financial secretary about why the hedge execution in October of last year was against the public interest. And if I could read it, Juan could read it, the press could read it, you could read it, and we could say, you know what, that's a sensible approach. I can see that. Even if you don't agree with it, you could say, okay, but I can see why they would take that perspective. In fact, the minister said today something. So now the IDB is also invoked. The minister said, not only did the financial secretary not agree, the IDB did not agree. All right? Now, this is a multilateral institution. They're not involved with our politics. But the minister said,
I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to read for you. Once I could find it, make sure I find it for you. Yes, this is what the minister said. But what the Ministry of Finance explained to me, Madam Speaker, is that any commitment of a hedge strategy would represent an obligation BPL was not in a fiscal position to assume itself. Therefore, through the IDB and the Ministry of Finance, both of which have the requisite technical capacity, reviewed what was put forward and did not accept it. Let me read it again. Therefore, through the IDB and the Ministry of Finance, both of which have the requisite technical capacity, reviewed what was put forward and did not accept it. Now, let me say something. I can be honest with you, right? If the Inter-American Development Bank came forward and says, yeah, we saw that request and we did not agree with it. Remember, this whole hedging program was set up with the ministry, with the Inter-American Development Bank. So this was a brainchild cooperation between them and the government. If the IDB came out right now today and said, we saw the request and we did not agree with that request, this would have ended the story in the first time it was mentioned to me, for me. I mean, like, that's the IDB, right? Why would that not be the leading argument? Why would they not lead? What? Listen, they always say when you go to court, you lead off with your strongest argument. I ask you, is it a stronger argument that the IDB did not sign off or that financial secretary didn't sign off? Which one you regard as more objective and more credible in the circumstance, given that the IDB designed the program, given that the IDB was the one that facilitated the white paper on the thing and so forth and so forth? Which one would you, which one? But now the IDB has had an allegation made publicly regarding itself in this matter. Now, do I expect that the IDB will speak to that? I do not. They are much more diplomatic than that. They would not. Says this text says the minister and the PM got good advice that could save tens of millions and rejected it. Then when the consequences of this bad decision surfaced and it was seen to be extremely costly, they then decided to cover it up. Okay. So once the evidence was presented that the minister was briefed, he then, after a series of denials, admitted, and the PM was briefed. Sound like you know. This text says, the government made the decision to take the advice of the financial secretary. It was the prime minister who needs to take responsibility for the hedge not being executed. I think the PM said he deliberately waited to take out the hedge to avoid putting additional load on the public. No, he said he didn't want to increase the charge at the time when BPL was advising that it needed to be increased so that the country wouldn't pay 30% more later on. The prime minister was not willing to put the increase on at all, but this was after the hedge wasn't executed, so you don't have that clear. So it is clear that the government made the decision not to take out the hedge at that time. That is true. If the fuel price was lower when the government took out the latest hedge, cannot deny, and that would make sense for any government to do you something good. But I was going to tell you all about this issue of leadership in the face of the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'm going to get into that. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 3. Or you can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, what people going on for? Prime Minister Mr. Fanon Sam Wilson made a decision and immediately advised Mr. Sayers. Mr. Sayers immediately advised PPL of the decision. if it was as simple as that, you know, let's move on, right? But Mr. Sayers, the diamond Mr. Sayers saying, right? The Prime Minister, that ain't what the Prime Minister saying. Prime Minister said, all right. I ain't do nothing. Mr. Wilson had some views that were adopted, but not me. I never received anything to my desk, right? So that's the problem. This text says, sir, great show. You are saying the government should state these reasons, but then you read where Mr. Sayers said IBM and Financial Secretary didn't agree with the hedge fund. We need to move on. So you think that's how life works? You have agency over yourself. So you do what you think you need to do and you move on. But you think that a matter in which a great deal and in which there are gaps in the information, you think that sensible, intelligent people should just, because you say so, move on? Okay. I will live in that world you live in. It sounds like a great world. This text says, good afternoon. Yep, it's downright ridiculous that everything is running inefficient. I've seen Singapore with a population as small as ours. Singapore's population is much bigger than yours, my friend. And yet they are one of the most prosperous small countries on earth. So is the Bahamas, quite frankly, my friend, just to let you know. If you depending on how you measure prosperity, the Bahamas is one of those too, just so you know. So are we seriously going to have our 50th anniversary in a country where no progress has been made? And that's what you believe? You must have been born yesterday or just a year ago or 2 years ago. Because to live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for 50 years and think we've made no progress, wow. Say roads still plagued with potholes and BPL still losing money and fuel. And that's your assessment of our country? Okie-bo. Sorry, I can't help you with that. I am abjectly in disagreement with you on your statement, abjectly. Anyways, I was saying that we have a call on the line. Okay, let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
This is Lang. Hi.
Hope you're doing well, sir.
Yeah, man, right here trying to keep it together.
Yeah, Mr. Lang. Our government, as I understand it, is based on the Westminster system of government. Government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And under that system of governance, it's based on honor. Is that right?
It's what?
It's based on honors. It's an honor system.
Yeah, but practically every political system, the minor democracy is, but yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when the three ministers or the two ministers voted against the increase of VAT, the prime minister said he had no, the prime minister at the time said he had no choice.
Yes. But what you're appealing to is less honor than collective responsibility.
Yeah. So under, if Mr. Says is found to be complicit in any way, under the Westminster system of government, should he resign or should he be asked, should he be forced to resign?
Well, it's not. It's less about the Westminster system. In any government, an minister, a secretary of the government, if found to have misled, been untruthful with the Congress, with the Parliament, that person has lost credibility. And it is, as you say, in an honor system, such a person would resign or be made to resign. That is true.
And so do you think that would
happen? I'm not there yet. I'm not there as to whether, I'm not making a judgment as to whether he did or did not. I will concede that on the face of it, this stuff does not look good. It does not present well, but I'm not going to go on and say that that is where we are at the moment. I'm still inquiring. I'm still looking. I'm still seeing. But what I see so far is not helpful.
Yeah, I mean, if you take it at face value, it doesn't look good. Okay, it doesn't.
No,
look good on
it does not.
No. Minister, right. So, but you and I know that after all is said and done, Mr. Langmore has always said and done.
You could be right. I don't know. You know, you could be right. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't have no way of holding these people accountable.
Let me tell you something. I don't know this. I movie. Where Morgan Freeman stars in it, but Morgan Freeman stood before a contemptible authority in this jurisdiction. I think this was either in the 16th or 17th century or something of that nature. And you know what he said? He said something profound. He said, though we may have no power to force an action, we should never fail to use our power to protest.
Mr. Lang, you know, we Bahamian people, we ain't going down. We ain't going march. We ain't like them.
No. You miss me. I'm not talking about protest as in going out and marching. I'm saying to object to what you see, to object to what you observe.
But
something you should never cease to do. Because if your children observe you in the face of this, that, and the next thing silent, they will think this is life altogether. And you can't tell me we have not protested before and had things changed, because that's the reason why we are no longer governed by a minority white population.
But Mr. Lang, your former Prime Minister, Ms. Ingram, said, I think at one, I don't know whether it was a crime issue, he said, well, you know, where are the numbers? Where are the protests? Where are the numbers?
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, I mean, so, life ain't always about that. You know, on this show, when things happen, I try to teach.
Yeah,
because in the teaching,
I mean, you know, they're saying that evil prospers when good men do nothing. And so, you know, there are people out there who will object. But at the end of the day, Mr. Lang, trust you. You know,
listen to me, man. Listen to me. You can never persuade me that speaking about a matter don't matter, because all Jesus ever did was speak.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, but you see, when you know the nature of the beast.
No, you know, we all know the nature. No, you listen to me, man. You can't tell me. Listen. You can't tell me with the nature no beast, because talking change of armors from a minority run government to a majority ruled government, talking change of armor from a dependent nation to an independent nation, talking change of armor from a government people that have lost faith in to a government people that have faith in the 1992, and so forth and so forth and so forth.
I'm going to leave now, but the change, the majority rule change and whatnot, that was really, the winds of change was blowing through.
Man, No, you can't tell me that. Former Sir Lyndon Pilling and all of his colleagues.
No, I am not. I am not.
You would have to be if you're telling me that.
Pilling was influenced by all of the other activities that was going on in the African countries and around.
Yes, where change was taking place by talk.
Yeah, but it was only a matter of time, and England wanted at that time to divest itself.
All right. You are therefore a fatalist, meaning things was gonna happen anyway. So if things are gonna happen anyway, why are we messing around? what are we doing? Why are we talking? Why are we acting? Let's let it be. Let it happen. I'm gonna be listening to you.
Hey, Chicago, how you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, my friend.
Awesome. Just something I wanted to say to the previous caller. We do have systems in the Bahamas where politicians and leaders are held to account. There are systems in place. However, it is incumbent upon those in authority to impose and to insist that the honor system, and I think this is what he's talking about, the honor system is recognized and is carried out as prescribed by law. All of these politicians can be held accountable. They signed up to be held accountable. But it is up to the leaders to enforce those things that they should account to be accounted for. And this is the problem we have in this country. We have too many leaders who see wrong and condone wrong. They do not stand up either. It's a political party, whether it's in the church or wherever. Is it human nature? Hey, we can ascribe it to that, but when you have policies in place that says or dictates that these are certain things that you must adhere to, and the second you don't adhere to them, then the choice is to extricate you from that position. And it's as simple as that, you know?
I think what's important here to note, because my children, three of my children are now adults. Three of them, by the suggestion of the former caller, if I see my children doing something wrong, which I cannot do anything about, I can't do anything about it. I should say nothing because I can't do anything about it.
Wow.
Is that true?
No, definitely not.
Shouldn't I, at the very least, be able to say, well, I did warn them? You know, those of us who subscribe to the Bible, in the Bible say, if you see your neighbor do wrong,
right,
and you do not warn him, his blood is on your hand.
Exactly.
Didn't say if you don't stop him, you know. Didn't say if you don't hold him down. Say if you don't warn him.
And you're right, Shivago, because basically that's just like the parents training the kids. Their children, they see them doing wrong, and they chastise them. They also try to impart knowledge, even though they may not understand it at that particular time. But if you continue down this roadway, these are the potentials that can happen.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to decide to continue down the road and continue doing these things? Or will you change your ways and go in the path that, because of our experience, and this is too, and this is why too many of our young people in the country go awry, because we give them the liberty at times to discover and learn things on their own. We as parents, we try to, try to teach them. Now listen, if you go down this road, this is potentially what's going to happen. When you buck your toe, then you'll understand why we try to warn you. But so many of them throw their hands up in the air, do not try to, just give them free will to do what they want to do. And then at the end of the day, when the calamity comes and the tyranny comes, then everybody acts surprised like they didn't see it coming. Yeah. We have a country to fix, Shivago. Let's fix it. Thanks for taking my
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. This text says, see, they are so used to flippantly dismissing matters, they expect that this would just go away. Same as FTX matter, used to flippantly doing it. Okay. So the call is echoing the point I just made. They will eventually dismiss anything that should, but it's our duty, though, to make them accountable. This text says, Mr. Lang, what is very disappointing to see how flippantly the PM and the minister says seem to have treated this matter. You mean this issue did not justify a meeting, a phone call, or sidebar at cabinet with PM to ask if he had a full appreciation of the issue? They treating the email like that was a first reading in Parliament once raised the issue staying on the agenda front and center, if only. Yep. Okay. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, I will make that point I was trying to make when we come back. We'll be back after this break.
Chenet's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights. A large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels and Santa tree toppers. Bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes. Garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Chenet's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.chenet's.com.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
We'll
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Dadian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So the point I wanted to make here is this. It's a reiteration of a point. When you are human, and you sit in a position of leadership, to carry out your leadership without making any mistakes, without making any bad judgments, is slim to none. That it is possible that whatever factors into your consideration in relation to a decision, you could get it wrong. And in the end, you could pay a price for that. You could even have been less than thorough in your research on a matter. You could have been egotistical in accepting advice on a matter. You could have been laissez-faire in your involvement in a matter. You could have been prejudiced in making that decision. You could have had a bad day of judgment in making that decision. Chances are, over the course of a span of leadership, spanning months, yea, years, you will make bad judgments. You will get some things wrong. Where we run afoul too oftentimes is where we have made popularity, favorability, the object of our worship in leadership. Popularity can be an enemy of good leadership. Any leader, you cannot go a span of time in leading that household and keep everyone happy. Any businessman knows it is impossible to lead your business and keep everyone happy. You can't even keep every customer happy, though you try. Any church leader knows that even in your most noble quest to enrich the souls and spirits of the people you lead, you will some days be unpopular with those same people. Even the Christ of Christianity found himself in a circumstance in which hundreds and hundreds of the followers to whom he spoke left him, and he turned to his 12 and said, "Will he leave me also?" Because he had become unpopular. So unpopular became he that throngs and throngs of people that once followed him, seeking his miracles and seeking the feeding, cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Surely Sir Lyndon knows, or knew. Surely Mr. Ingram knows. Surely Mr. Christie knows. Dr. Minnis knows. And now even Mr. Davis knows. You cannot be popular with everybody all the time. And you cannot make sound decisions trying to make everybody happy all the time. Leadership is what it is because it requires us to make alienating decisions. Because if we didn't have to make alienating decisions, there'd be no need for leadership. Leadership exists because someone has to make a call where everybody can't make the call. Get the call wrong. Sometimes you weren't malicious in doing so. You weren't trying to get it wrong, but you do. Where we run into difficulty is where we are unwilling, upfront, early, to own it. To own it.
Okay? You made a judgment. I'm sorry. Simon Wilson is the financial secretary. He gave advice. I am not putting this on Simon Wilson. No one will get me to be able to do that. I'm not. He is an advisor to the government. He is not a policy director. The government made a judgment. As it turns out, it appears that judgment resulted in a higher cost to the public of energy going forward. You own that. You say, you know what? It was a bad call. Lesson learned. Right? End of story. Right? People could call for your head. They can't, but what they can't call for, they can't call for your integrity because you have it. You put it down. You put it out there. They can't call for your forthrightness because you put it out there. They can't call for your courage because you put it out there because you said, listen, we made this call. We made this call. We decided not to go this direction. The request was made, and it was made early in our term, and based on all the information we used, we made a judgment. Maybe if we had made a different judgment, but that's the one we made. However, people are going to tick your box on that, they're going to tick your box. But how many more people get to tick your box in a different way because you now have a growing and an evolving mess of the situation? Born of what? Born of what? Born of a denial, not born of the actual. Listen, think about this. The actual decision has already been made. It was made in October of last year. That's months ago. The decision has already been made. The consequence of that decision is built into our pie right now. What we are now talking about is a response to a query regarding the matter. Why? Why? Because it would seem that this an apparently bad or ugly decision is an orphan with a stepfather bureaucracy. It's a lesson to learn. It really is. It's a lesson to learn. Listen, you, when you're in government, the decision is yours to make. You're not always going to make good decisions. And you own it. And you're forthright about it. And you let the chips fall where they may. Let me tell you, because in the end, if you're honest, that'll last a whole lot longer. If you're forthright, that'll last a whole lot longer than if you're not. I remember people coming to me and asking me to do them things, stuff for them, right? Nothing illegal, just stuff. And I said, I can't do that. And they say, oh, Langman, you wouldn't even give people hope. You wouldn't even give people hope. I said, why should I give you hope? Why should I mislead you about a thing I know I will not do for you? Oh, and in the moment, I wasn't very popular. In fact, you know that. People, he's arrogant. He's aloof. You know what I mean? He's cold. Okay. But they didn't go on me dishonest. And even if they did, it didn't matter to me. I knew I could go home and sleep at night because I wasn't trying to put you on any road other than the road that I knew was true. You got to live with that. You live with that because it's tidier. It doesn't make you feel as good. It may not make you as popular, but it's tidier. To make mistakes, and I'm sorry. So this has been one of the best ever policy shows. Thank you, sir. You're welcome. Let me finish reading your note, man. I can do that for you. So now you understand why I said let it all go. Let us make mistakes. Let's move on. The same way we move on from our $70 million.
that was spent on drones that never came was commissioned into services. Bro, let it go. You, my brother, man, please. We talked about the drone for days. Okay? The story keeps giving. The drones come up again. When you watch when it come up again and see if it will be talked about. Anyway, listen, y'all have a great evening. God bless you. You've been listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Take care. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.